Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Broadcasting live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple on the world famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, joined as always my good friend, buddy, co-host Anthony Padilla.
Scott, always good to be here. Man, playoff football is in the air. We just had college football playoffs. We've got NFL playoffs. Today we'll be talking most importantly about the return of Tara to the Vegas Video Network.
Tara, she's back. She lightens up the entire studio.
I think she should be the whole show today.
Let's attack the line. The Houston Texans, Houston Texans. Everybody sing along. Never mind. Houston Texans taking on the New England Patriots. Exciting weekend. Wow, we're down to the final four in the AFC, down to the final four in the NFC. The Houston Texans taking on the New England Patriots. Didn't these two teams just play about a month ago where the New England Patriots hammered the Texans 42-14? The total for this game opened 48.5. It's been bet down to 48, the early money coming in on the under. Today it's 47 and a hook. What do you have to say about that, Dr. Hook?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of points in this game, and they're all primarily going to be put up by, once again, the Patriots. Look, I don't know what Houston's done in the last few weeks. You know, unfortunately, and this is kind of a teaser ruiner, if you will, as we get into later, but that was my game last week, Cincinnati at Houston. Cincinnati just flat out didn't show up. I don't want to discredit Houston entirely because they did win the game, but not the way they should have. And they're certainly not ready to go back to New England. This is New England is made for the playoffs. That's what they do. This is they bore their way through the regular season to get to where they feel most comfortable. Tom Brady now is in his element, you know. And I tell you what, Houston broke out those Letterman jackets a few weeks ago, which they look nice. But the problem is, you played like you were in high school, and I see that coming back this week. So a lot of points. Probably, I think it's going to be 38-24 New England. Clearly over.
Houston Texans stumbling into the playoffs. They had lost three of their last four games before knocking off the Cincinnati Bengals in Houston last weekend by a score of 19-13. The Texans, the first time they played about a month ago against the Patriots, the total for the contest closed into the 50s. Now, it did get there, the over, because it fell 42-14 New England. That was then. This is now. In the playoffs, teams generally play it a little bit closer to the vest, play not to lose. And if you look, the total for this game reflects that because, again, 48.5, 48 down to 47.5. Not a big move on the total, but a small move. I don't have an opinion as far as attacking this total. I do have an opinion on the second game that I would like to take a look at for attack the line, and that is the Green Bay Packers on the road taking on the San Francisco 49ers. The total for this game opened 46, has been bet down to 45, and today 44.5.
You know what? I don't know, man, because this is two pretty good offenses once again. And I think there's going to be some points put on the board because Aaron Rodgers, as of late, has his team back, you know, clicking on all cylinders. We talked about them a lot early in the season, how they struggled, you know, what kind of start were they going to get off to. It was this indicative of the kind of season they were going to have. They went on to have a very good season, you know, once again. A lot of people have made strong points that Aaron Rodgers, it was only bad, so to speak, because you compare him to what he did last year when he was the MVP and just had ridiculous numbers. But if he doesn't have those numbers last year, he's quite possibly the MVP again. He really wrapped up the season solid, and he's proven why, you know, he belongs in Green Bay. I don't even think they remember the name Favre anymore, to be honest with you. But it's not in Lambeau. That's the one thing San Francisco has going for him. Colin Kaepernick, what's he going to do? Personally, I think that it's going to be the guy, you know, not that we saw when he took over for Alex Smith in that first game and he came out and just lit everything on fire. I think it's going to be that third game type Kaepernick where it's the playoffs, he's a rookie. He'll do all right, he'll get the job done, but I don't think it's going to be enough just based on what Green Bay is bringing to the table. And defensively, San Francisco, they lost one of their best players, you know, with that triceps injury. And so that's, I think that's going to be a big factor in this game.
Green Bay Packers coming off an exciting win last week at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the Vikings were without their star quarterback in Ponder, but the Packers won that game. This is a rematch. Now, these two teams played first game of the season in Green Bay Lambeau Field. The 49ers pulled off a mild upset by winning, I believe it was something like 28-20. Again, so these two teams know a thing or two about each other. You look at the 49ers, they do have the home field advantage. Both teams play pretty good defense. Now, I say that only because the Green Bay Packers have gotten healthy at the right time, because early on, mid-season, they were struggling defensively. But they do have their main core of defensive stars back. They are healthy. I like the fact that the money on this game has gone from 46 to 45 to 44.5. I do like the under in this contest, but do yourself a favor. Most places have 44.5. Try to find, there are a couple of 45s out there. 45 is a key number. We've talked before about betting on and off key numbers, sides, totals, and totals. 37 is most prevalent, followed by 41, 44, 38, and 45 in that order. So again, 45 is a key number. So try to bet under the 45 as opposed to the 44.5.
You know, here we go again. We've got another game with a rookie quarterback. You know, last week we had the rookie versus rookie. Now we've got the rookie versus veteran. What do you think? I mean, do you like this? Do you think this is good for the league?
I think it's great for the league because, first of all, it's rare. I like proven winners come playoff time. So I like the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, the Peyton Manning's of the world. But I love what we've seen with rookie quarterbacks. Russell Wilson is the real deal for the Seattle Seahawks. Well, Colin Kaepernick, a star player in college at the University of Nevada. He can run. He can pass. You know, the first time the Packers played the Niners, it was an 8-point game. Alex Smith was the quarterback for the 49ers. All he did last year was led the team to the NFC Conference Championship game. He got ousted this year not because of a quarterback competition, but because of an injury. Now, as a starting QB, Alex Smith, 20 wins, 6 losses, but Harbaugh loves Kaepernick, and it's not hard to see why. I mean, the guy is a very good, heady rookie quarterback, or actually in the second year.
Now, do you think he's still the better choice? I mean, do you think going into this game, based on that decision Harbaugh made earlier in the season, you know, obviously it was controversial. He said, I'm going with a hot hand, and he was it at the time. Do you think that's still the right decision? I mean, do you think he's under scrutiny, rightfully so, if Kaepernick is unable to get the job done? Considering he's got Alex Smith, the guy who led them to the playoffs last year, you know, and really had no reason to be put on the bench.
I realize it's a hot topic, not one that I care to even discuss, simply because as a professional sports bettor, all I care about, I'll let the coach coach. All I need to know from a handicapping standpoint is who is the starting QB. I'll handicap it accordingly.
That might be the worst answer I've ever heard.
I thought it was the best answer. It's the best answer I've ever come up with.
I didn't ask you to bet on the quarterback. I just asked you who you thought was a better choice.
I think either way, I mean, from a handicapping standpoint, I don't get into who might play, who may not play. All I need to know is tell me who's playing.
Yeah, but you should care. Actually, you should care because the quarterback play does make a difference in the outcome of the game.
The line will reflect that, okay? It's not like, okay, that Jim Harbaugh is going to pull Kaepernick the last second and put in Alex Smith. We'll handicap that. We'll jump off that bridge when we get to it.
Well, right now I wish you would jump off something. All right, guys, it is time to move on, and I am excited. I'm excited, regardless of what Scott just, the mood you just put me in, it doesn't even matter because it is time for Spin and Win, where this week we have the Baltimore Ravens heading to Denver, Mile High Stadium, to take on the Broncos. Broncos are favored by 9.5 in this game. As you know, in this segment, we've got two teams on the wheel. We spin it. We're both stuck with the team to argue both sides for, because the smart bettor knows you should always bet with your head, not with your heart. And the lovely Tara is back, and she's spinning the wheel. So take your time, Tara. Spin it as slowly as you want, but let's get to it.
I would say Scott's on the Ravens. Up close.
Baltimore Ravens. My eyes are so bad, I have to wait for the executive producer to tell me who I'm forced to make an argument for. So the Baltimore Ravens plus the 9.5 points taking on the Denver Broncos. The Ravens on the road. Here's the thing you have to take a look at with the Baltimore Ravens. Defensively, they've been known to be stars in the past. But this year, they've really struggled on the defensive side of things because early on in the year, they were 25th, 26th out of 32 teams defensively. But once Ray Lewis went down, after 17 years in the league, the team defensively actually improved. Today, they're in the middle of the pack, 15th to 17th defensively in all of football. The concern I have with the Denver Broncos, as good as Peyton Manning is, he is 9-10 on the road in the playoffs. So the challenge has been for Peyton Manning, having been playing in a dome for all these years, can he play? Can he win? Can he produce in cold weather? I know in Denver, the forecast is 21 degrees, wind chill 11. The Baltimore Ravens are starting to play good football. The concern I have is they played Houston, playoff team, got hammered. They played the Denver Broncos in Baltimore, got hammered. That game was a little bit closer than you might think. It was 10-0 Denver. In the second quarter, Ravens had first and goal at the 4-yard line going in to make it a 10-7 score. Flacco does what Flacco does. He threw the big INT, pick six the other way. And then the route was on, 17-0 Denver at that time. The Broncos have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. The Baltimore Ravens are healthy. I guess that's the biggest thing. I've gone on record as saying I think Ray Lewis is past it. 17 years in the league. He proved me wrong last week. His first game back, 13 tackles. Suggs is back. This team, Ray Rice, one of my favorite players, a star running back for the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens will give the Broncos a good contest. The argument would be take the Ravens plus the 9.5, see the cashier.
It's crazy, man. I commend you. That was a great attempt at arguing for Baltimore, but I mean there's no way because of everything you just said. Look, it doesn't matter what Peyton Manning did in the past. He's already proven himself. They've won 11 straight, and he's played in some bad weather out there this season. You know, coming off of the neck surgeries, at what point has this guy done enough to prove himself? Everybody was concerned he wasn't going to make it through a week, maybe 2 weeks. When was he going to get hurt? RG3 is the one that ended up getting hurt. You know, and he had no injuries going into the season. Peyton Manning takes a lot of hits, but this guy he's come in to Denver and taken over this offense like he had it for the past five seasons. You know, he's got no Sean Moreno. He's got a great receiving core that these guys are capable. I hate the Denver Broncos, but they're very fun to watch. They've got an explosive offense. And that game when you talked about when they played in Baltimore in a couple weeks ago, it was 10-0. They were right there. But look, now we've got something else coming into play. Then they went up 31-3. You go from 10-0, or it could be 10-7. They run back that touchdown, 17-0. They go up 31-3. It's momentum, and it shifts. And it's interesting because this is exactly what the Broncos have, which is something that we talked about last week. Jim Leland, famed Major League Baseball, you know, manager, does not believe in momentum. That's ridiculous because it's an existing measurable thing in life, and it's a measurable thing in sports. And the Broncos have it right now. And I understand you're going to say, how is it measurable? But technically, I guess it is an intangible, but it's still there. And you just know when a team has it. It's hard to control it, but this team has had it for the last 11 games. And they're just going to keep rolling. The only thing Baltimore has going for them in this game is Ray Lewis. Unfortunately, you know, it's not going to be enough to stop the explosive Bronco offense. Joe Flacco was good. Let's give Joe Flacco a little bit of credit because he has managed to get them there. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to win a playoff game in his first five seasons. So he's worthy of being in the spot. But I don't think he has what it takes to take it to that next level yet. So the Broncos are going to win this game, and I think they're going to win it by a significant amount.
You talk about Joe Flacco, the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. I think he's more than credible. I think he has the potential. He's underachieved this season. I mean, when in doubt, just hand off to Ray Rice. They also have a very good running back, Pierce. But Denver, I respect what you say about the Broncos. They're in the top five defensively as well as offensively. But you talk about the fact that, the Broncos have won 11 consecutive games. Good for them. They beat the Raiders a couple of times. They beat the Chiefs a couple of times. They beat the Browns. The last time they lost, by the way, when they played the New England Patriots, 31-21. Patriots favored by 7. It was 31-7 late before they gave up two backdoor touchdowns.
Okay, you know what? You can't ever fault a team for their schedule. And unfortunately, we do that in sports. It doesn't matter who they beat or why they beat them. That's their division.
From a handicapping standpoint, it's extremely important because you have to look inside the numbers. And your point's well taken on the surface, but if you unpeel that onion, there's a lot more that goes into...
But this is exactly where I'm talking about the momentum factor, which is, look, maybe those were gimme games, but they still count. And the fact that they won them just increases this team's confidence headed into the playoffs. So they are ready for New England. They're not thinking, well, we only beat Kansas City and Oakland. They're thinking we rolled off 12 in a row now to go into New England or whatever and take on this team. Because I'm sorry, but I'm already looking past Baltimore. I don't see this even being a close game.
I think a lot of us are. I think we all are looking for the two heavyweights to collide, a collision course. The Denver Broncos, everyone wants to see the Broncos taking on the New England Patriots. It's Peyton versus Manning. It's Ali versus Frazier or Padilla versus Pritchard.
I don't think anybody wants to pay to see that. But you can catch it every week right here, and we are here today. We're glad you're joining us. We're going to take a break, come back, be with us right here, Vegas Video Network.
Oh, hi. I'm Kelly Clinton. That sucked. I wonder if Joan Rivers is watching. Oh, please. Oh, my God. Who cares? I don't have a different one. You know who watches this show? Wayne Newton.
You got that right, Kelly. I think you're absolutely beautiful and talented, young lady. 5, 6, 9, 12. Talk your shit.
More camera time for me. Hey, I wonder if Cher's watching. Oh, please. I have so many other things to do. Woo! Hi, I'm Kelly Clinton. I'm the host of Talk Tales, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. That was horrible.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. I'm Scott Pritchard, joined as always by Anthony Padilla. We would love for you to reach out to us on the Vegas Video Network. You can do that a number of ways. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. We also have web-based voicemail. Would love to hear your voice. Go to our site on the right-hand side, a red bar, click there, middle of the page, start recording that green bar, and you'll be a part of the show. Also, you can check us out on live chat, and if you miss us live, it's okay. You can still reach out to us on YouTube, iTunes, Vegas Video Network, Roku, and then every Saturday, the shows are rebroadcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio. So keep those voicemails and emails coming. Now, it's impossible for us live on the air to get to all of those. I do want to reach out to a gentleman, Eric Orn, I believe is his name, from Washington State, not to be confused with Washington, D.C. This is a gentleman a few weeks ago who had sent us a cartoon caricature of Anthony and myself. So we want to thank him for continuing to be a part of what we're doing here on The Odds Couple. And instead of me reading the email, if we could, are we at liberty to share the voicemail, Scott?
Yeah, voicemail.
Okay, great.
Yeah, because only in New Mexico, I was back in Albuquerque last week,
hey,
and you
Scott,
actually have to clarify. Somebody asked me, where do you live?
Where
I said,
are you
going to
be on Saturday before the Super Bowl?
Las Vegas,
I know you mentioned
Nevada.
You're going to be at Harris.
Everybody else would get it. So,
really good. Where exactly are you going to be?
Eric is referring to the sports betting educational I'm doing in Las Vegas at Harris. When you do the voicemails, try to turn down Anthony. I do my best here in the studio. He's always barking in my ear, so I can relate to what you were dealing with there, Eric. But a big fan of the show. We appreciate the feedback, good, bad, or otherwise, that you have in regards to the show. But Eric went on to talk about how he wants to get some information on how to bet the Super Bowl, and referring specifically to my sports betting educational on how to bet the Super Bowl and win by attacking Super Bowl props, 250 ways to bet. And Eric went on to say that he's staying adjacent to Harrah's, which is where my event will be, at the Quad. So you can go to my site to sign up for that sports betting educational. I'll be joined by a guest speaker, Dink, featured in the movie Lay the Favorite, starring Bruce Willis as Dink. It's on video on demand right now, so check that out, about the underground world of professional sports betting in Las Vegas. Go to PritchardsPicks.com. That's PritchardsPicks.com. Your investment is $897, but if you sign up by January 27th, Eric, and for all of you viewers, it's only $597. But the whole point of this is keep those emails, keep those voicemails coming. We love to field your live chat questions. Now, before we get to the frustrating part of sports betting with Anthony's Are You Kidding Me?, I would like to attack futures. Is there a future in betting futures? And do futures present good value? Yes and no. It only takes one. Generally speaking, future bets are sucker plays because the casinos, the sports books, are such whores, they will not let you bet the other side. For instance, they'll say, okay, what are the odds of the Miami Heat to win the NBA championship? The odds might be 2-1, but they won't let you bet against that. They only give you one-way action. Now, having said that, it only takes one sports book to have one bad number on a future team. It's all about value. I want to give you a case in point. Anthony, every week you will bust my chops on talking about the New England Patriots, but the fact of the matter is I bet numbers, not teams. August of this year, I was singing a song about the New England Patriots based on talent, based on skill, based on favorable schedule, and I caught a 5-1 on the Patriots to win the AFC Conference Championship game. Even when they stumbled and lost two very close games and started the season 1-2, you still could not find a 5-1 on the AFC Conference Championship for the Patriots. All right, now let's fast forward to today. The Patriots, seeded 2, at home. You can't lose if you don't play. Last week they had a bye. This week they're favored by 9.5, 10 points at home against the Houston Texans. That means, for all intent and purpose, if they win this game, they have to win one game. The odds today of the Patriots winning the AFC Conference Championship is plus 20 cents. Let me put that in perspective for you. Hypothetically, you as a viewer, if you bet the Patriots $10,000 at plus 5-1, you would net $60,000 as long as they come out of the AFC. Conversely, if you bet the Patriots today at plus 20 cents to win the AFC Conference Championship, you bet the same $10,000, you net $12,000, meaning you get back $22,000 as opposed to $60,000. The difference is $38,000 in equity, or hedge money, if you will. What am I going to do? I'm glad you asked. I've already bet the Houston Texans plus the 10. Houston Texans plus 10 points, hoping that the Patriots win the game, but I have a 10-point middle to where potentially I could win all the money. Now, okay, well, that's great. Now I'm in the championship game, but I'm on the road taking on the Denver Broncos. For all intent and purpose, expect the Broncos to be a small, small favorite. I could lay 30, 40 cents on the Broncos. A lot of maneuverability there. So in betting futures, it's about seeing it before it happens and finding one number where one sports book is dragging their feet, not updating their board. So let's move on now as we talk about sports betting and in the world of sports, what is it that frustrates you? Are you kidding me?
All right. We're right in the middle of the NFL playoffs. Could not be a better time of year in sports. This, however, is coming after about 3 weeks of 4,700 different college bowl games. Let me just read you some of these that went on this year. In addition to the ones that we all know, the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, Cotton Bowl, right, the Fiesta Bowl, we have the Liberty Bowl, the Outback Bowl, Russell Athletic Bowl, Alamo Bowl, Little Caesars Pizza Bowl, Famous Idaho Potato Bowl, that'd be a fun one to win, huh? Music City Bowl, Meineke Car Care Bowl of Texas, Hawaii Bowl, Craft Fight Hunger Bowl, the Cereal Bowl, the Mixing Bowl, the Rice Bowl. Look, enough. We got it. There's enough. My problem with this is not that there's these bowls for these college athletes to go and feel like they're part of something, but you need to start learning that in life, sometimes you just lose and you just don't get to go on. All right? Because in these bowls, like the Belk Bowl, I don't even know who was in. I could care less who was in the Belk Bowl, but I'll guarantee you one thing. At least one of the teams in that bowl had a 500 record or less going into that. And that's not how life works, college students. Listen up, all right? You're going to learn a little something about life, because if you go 500 in life, you are not going to a bowl, all right? You're not getting the job. Not everybody gets the job. Not everybody comes in here. And I know that's hard to believe. As I sit next to Scott, you would think, obviously, anybody can get on this show. But that's not how it works, okay? We were the only two that wanted to be on the show. In fact, I think we recruited him. But in life... I love you, Scotty. In life, this isn't how things work, okay? And I think that there are just too many bowls because we've accepted mediocrity as a winning part of life, and it is not. And again, as a former college athlete, if we were losing, you don't want to extend, especially if you're a football player, you do not want to extend the season by one more meaningless game in some worthless city where everybody's making fun of you when you're playing in the... in the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. I don't know that anybody's glad to be going home with that trophy, all right? Now, I understand that Beef was in that, so Scott, I've got Scott's interest. But once again, other than that, nobody cares about these bowls, including the people playing in the games. So let's just cut it back to the ones that count. I think this year with the national championship game, Alabama blowing out Notre Dame, with all due respect, Notre Dame went undefeated. This is a time that I'll say the scheduling has a big part of it. SEC football clearly deserves much more respect than it gets, and it truly is one of the elites in college football, as they manhandled Manti Te'o, and clearly they didn't see what a fun story he was because they did not care. I think he had 7 missed tackles in that game, 2 all season long. Look, whatever. Just enough with the bowls. Let's get back to the ones that count. Life is about winning. That's it. You don't win, you don't go on. Are you kidding? Enough.
I have to back up for a second. Did I hear correctly that, Anthony, you said that you were a former college athlete? Is badminton considered a sport? Badminton?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And nobody is better with that shuttlecock than, well, that's a story.
What sport did you play, if you don't mind me asking?
Baseball.
Baseball, all
wow,
right.
Wow, I'm
for you.
Glad that this is news to you.
Yeah, it is
on the
news
show.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah, right
yeah.
On. Okay.
5
good.
Years of college baseball. My buddy never even knew this. That's amazing.
Exciting part of the show that we are going to actually put money into your pocket is Anthony and I together, independently, individually, but hopefully together we'll put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
All right, this week I am going with the Seattle Seahawks heading to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Falcons are favored by 2.5 in this game. Going back to my game last week, we discussed it earlier. I had the Cincinnati Bengals plus the 4.5 taking on the Texans. They lost. Really, they just didn't show up for the game. I mean, let's just be honest. I do want to point out also, though, that I was right about every other game last week, just not the one that puts the money in your pocket, as Scott would say. But this week, I'm feeling confident with Seattle heading to Atlanta. Look, there's a lot of things on both sides of this equation, because it's a crazy dynamic in this week's game, because you have Atlanta, who is in a situation once again in the playoffs. They kind of rolled through the season, you know, never the real team that kind of record would indicate you are, but they're there, and truly that's all that matters. But I did say a few weeks ago that they would lose, as you mentioned earlier, that they would lose their first playoff game after the bye, and that would be this week. Now look, Matt Ryan is great, but he's got that pressure of needing to win in the playoffs. Last year they made it with one of the best records, and they lost. And they lost in an embarrassing fashion. So here they are once again taking on a momentous, is that a word, momentous? A momentous Seattle Seahawks team who's rolled off like 4,000 points in the past 4 weeks. They went to Washington last week, went down 14-0. No worries. They just came right back and won the game, you know, the way that they've done it all year in an exciting way. Atlanta, too many questions. Seattle, a lot of great things. Russell Wilson, clearly one of the top names in the league for a long time to come. He's solidified himself. I'm going to put that out there now. In his rookie year, he has solidified himself, and he's going to maintain because he has the work ethic. That's the difference. He's not a guy who takes his position lightly. There's been a lot of very cool stories about what he does to prepare for games, and that's not going to go away, you know. And his team believes in him, which is very important in this league. You've got Marshawn Lynch celebrating with Skittles in the end zone, and you've got just a really fun team to watch. The only negative, I would say, on the Seahawks team is Richard Sherman. The guy's mouth has just become kind of an issue, and that's one thing going into the playoffs that's bulletin board material for other teams. However, in this game, I don't think that's going to be enough. Atlanta's favored by 2.5. It is going to be a close game, but the right side for me in this game is the Seahawks plus the 2.5. I think they're actually going to win this game. So look for a good one, but Seattle's going to come out on top.
Before we get to my right side, I see that we have a live chat question. Go ahead.
Yeah, before I ask the question, do you guys, or do you, Scott, bet on NHL?
I do not bet NHL hockey. A very good friend of mine, Dink, featured in the movie Lay the Favorite, starring Bruce Willis as
take
Dink.
Take the dog
case,
on that movie,
in case
by the way.
Lay the Favorite, take the dog. What does that mean again? But actually, I do not bet on NHL hockey. I've often said, I don't care if it's two monkeys in a foot race. If I feel I have inside info on the winning monkey, I'm going to bet it. But that's one of the select few things. I bet on everything. But that's one of the select few things I do not bet, simply because I don't know enough about it. Do we have any other questions?
That's it. Then don't watch that movie.
you watched the movie and you didn't like it. Well, you're not alone because the critics...
The guy who played you wasn't nearly as good as you.
Well, I'm happy to say that. I'll pay you later. I have to say that before I get to my right side, I have to... I've been very patient, okay? I sit here every week and I listen to Anthony Padilla give us the right side. And with all due respect, I respect his opinion. And I've sat here and I've listened and I've never questioned his plays. And it's a good thing because he's had a very good season ATS against the spread. But I beg to differ. The Atlanta Falcons... The Seattle Seahawks, I think you've been watching too much ESPN and too much TV. If you really think the Seattle Seahawks, a team, they've been on the road. They've won 8 of 9. Congratulations. But the fact is, prior to last week, they'd only won 3 road games the entire year. A rookie quarterback on the road. The Atlanta Falcons are pissed off. All they've been hearing day in, day out, 0-3 Matt Ryan. Well, we're talking about 5 years in the league now. It's a pass-happy league. They're at home. I haven't felt this good about the Falcons since a few short weeks ago right here on this network when I gave out my play of the week, the Atlanta Falcons -1.5 at home against the New York Giants. Everyone was singing a song and dancing to the Giants, okay, at that time. So what you have is the Seattle Seahawks on the road. And Anthony, I'm with you, but I'm telling you, the Atlanta Falcons with Gonzalez and Roddy White, Julio Jones, it's a pass-happy league. I don't trust the Seahawks. They're a bit of a fraud. Yes, I realize they've won 8 of 9. They're a media darling. I do like their coach, Pete Carroll. Here's the problem. The Seahawks were given 2 games, okay? That freak show on a Monday night game and the last play of the game, the replacement ref or the replay booth official gave the game to the Seahawks. They're not as good as their record is my point. They beat the New England Patriots because of Tom Brady's intentional grounding late in that game. They won by 1. I give credit where credit's due. Congratulations, you've had a great season, but I really think it's going to end this weekend. But never mind that. That isn't even my play of the week. My play of the week features the New England Patriots hosting the Houston Texans. Now, you've heard me all year long talk and praise Tom Brady and the Patriots. The Houston Texans just played the Patriots 4 weeks ago, and that started, the Texans were 11-1 at that time. They lost to the Patriots 42-14. They were embarrassed on national TV. Now they come back. They actually lost 3 of their last 4 regular season games, but last week they're healthy for the most part. They can run, they can pass. They knocked off the Cincinnati Bengals 19-13, so they've gained some confidence. They're on the road taking on the Patriots. No one is better than Tom Brady, and no one is a better coach, in my opinion, than Bill Belichick. The Patriots can run, they can pass. Their rush defense is very sound, very solid, but their pass defense is still 29th out of 32 teams in the National Football League. I'm a dog player. Underdogs are oftentimes undervalued. If you ever watch a crime show, it's basically someone doing someone in, and it's based on love, it's based on jealousy, it's based on money, and it's based on revenge. Revenge comes into play in the National Football League. We're talking about professional athletes at the highest level. The Houston Texans have talent, and they went to New England and were embarrassed. All right, I'm saying the New England Patriots are the better team, but 10 points is way too happy. The right side for me, the Houston Texans plus the 10. See the cashier? Are you kidding me?
I love it. I love every time you pick in a manner of speaking against the Patriots.
It's never happened.
I know.
Today's the first day.
Well, this is a great day.
Now, I mentioned that I have the Texans on a value play because I have the Patriots at 5-1 to win the AFC Conference, but never mind that, friends. Objectively speaking, if I did not have that future on the Patriots, and if I wasn't looking for a big, fat 10-point middle, I would still step up to the bet window. And I need to tell you that on Vegas Video Network, we're big on entertaining you, but also educating you. I can even tell you where to bet this game if you like the Texans. Why take +9.5 when you can steal a 10? I bet +10 2.5 days ago at William Hill Sportsbook, 4 Queens downtown. And at Red Rock Hotel Casino, they had a 10 for a few short hours. It's been bet back down to 9.5, money coming in on the Houston Texans. Today, Friday, one place, Coast Properties, you can get the Texans at +10, dog 15, meaning that you have to lay 15. The Patriots are 10, dog 15, meaning you have to lay 15 cents instead of 10 cents on the Texans, but you do get the 10 points.
mouthful for you.
Did
right
you
there.
Understand anything that I just said?
I actually wasn't listening. But but that's not what matters. What matters is that they were listening, and I love you, and I love your picks every week. You know I go on PritchardPicks.com all the time. Well, I call you, usually. But if I can't get a hold of you because you're cleaning a pool or something, then I go online and look for you. Look, Scotty, this is fun, man. And now we're in the playoffs, and this is what it's all about. It's the grind, right? All of us went through a long season. And now it's interesting because you've got guys like Ray Lewis ending his career. Sadly, it's going to end this week, you know, but at least he got to go out on a big hurrah at home and do 7 more dances at home, you know, in that last game. Tony Gonzalez, what a sad story that's going to be. Because just I took Seattle, but just for argument's sake, if Atlanta were to win this game and move on, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. So unfortunately, Tony Gonzalez's career is going to end without a Super Bowl ring. You know, but they're great stories, and those are two great, well, you know.
The bigger concern is Gonzalez, as good as he is with the Chiefs and now the Falcons, is he's a star player, but he's never won a playoff game, so he's highly motivated. But again, I respectfully disagree with your assessment on the Seattle-Atlanta game. I do like the Falcons to win going away, much like they did a few short weeks ago against the New York Giants. But hey, once again, great show. I want to know, before we get to what I'm doing, if anyone cares, no one ever asks, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going out and enjoying the strip, man. CES is in town, and those are party people, if I've ever seen any. They're not party people, in the least. But they're here, and we're glad they're here because they bring money to this city, and we need it, and we love you for it. And if you are here for CES or whatever else, please come out to the show, Comedy After Dark with myself. Actually, for the rest of this month, a friend of mine, Grandma Lee, she's on America's Got Talent. She is in town joining me on the show, so that's a treat for everybody. Little, cute, 80-year-old woman, dirtiest comic you've ever met or seen. Absolutely. She's like the dice of little old ladies. So, but she's fun, very sweet off stage, just down and dirty and raw on stage. So please come have some fun with us. What are you doing?
Actually, check out my plays every day on VegasInsider.com. Close to 1 million views a day. My site, PritchardsPicks.com. For Anthony Padilla, I'm Scott Pritchard. We're live every Friday. Odds Couple, Vegas Video Network. Good luck and goodbye.